Tonight, let's get started by hearing from God's word. This is from Psalm chapter 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Tonight, really all that we want to do is that last part from the psalm. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That the Lord has been doing things that we want to hear about as a church. That we want to find out about, that people here are going to share about, that we're going to be encouraged by, Lord willing, but also being able to hear about the things that are coming up over the course of the summer, things that, whether it's something you could participate in or something we could just be praying for together to see happen. What we want to do tonight is take a few minutes together as a church to taste and see the things that God is doing in our midst and be reminded that he is good. And wonderful things are happening, and we get to participate and celebrate that together.
Good evening, everyone. Can everyone hear me all right? Okay. My name is Betty DiPalazzo, and I am a volunteer at Stony Creek Elementary School. And this is my Stony Creek and Me story. There are many different ways that you can serve at Stony Creek, and there is no previous experience or formal training required. My duties have included stuffing envelopes, helping to set up the computer lab, helping kindergartners find their rooms on the first day of school, helping the kindergartners in the cafeteria during their first week, helping at the book fair, and directing parents to their right classrooms on the open house night. I have also helped in the school office with filing and updating student folders. All of these duties were on an as-needed basis, but every Thursday, I enter Stony Creek as Miss Betty, lunch buddy to second grader Christopher, and reading buddy to second grader Jaden. Being a lunch buddy is very special to me. It involves spending 25 minutes with a boy or a girl who needs a little extra in some way. We have lunch together, visit together, and try to have a fun activity, like telling jokes or riddles, playing tic-tac-toe or hangman, and even coloring. I am there to let my lunch buddy know that I think he is pretty special, and that he matters to me, that I care about him and how he is doing, and that I want to be his friend. And I can continue to pray for him throughout the week. Being a reading buddy is a little more structured. Each week has a lesson to follow. My buddy reads to me, and then I read to him. There are guidelines and comprehension questions to focus on. Our sessions last almost an hour, but during that time, there is an opportunity to get to know your buddy and for them to get to know you. And again, I get to pray for my buddy during the week. In February, all of the lunch and reading buddy volunteers had the opportunity to meet the families of their little buddies. That was a great night. We had a special pizza meet and greet time, and a great time was had by all. Another big thank you to Sandy and Gordon for arranging that whole thing and for Crossway in playing an important part. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the kind of reception that the staff at Stony Creek gives us any time that we go into the school. It is actually overwhelming. Everyone, from the principal to the office staff to the teachers we meet in the hall, to the cafeteria workers, to the janitors, greet us with big smiles, and they can't thank us enough for coming. It is very humbling when I consider how little time I give and how appreciative they are. Now, I mentioned earlier that there was no formal training or special experience required for you to volunteer at Stony Creek, but there are some things that you must be willing to do. Number one, you must be willing to give lots of smiles. Number two, you must be willing to receive and to give lots of hugs. This includes staff and students, even if you don't know them. Number three, you must be willing to give waves, high fives, and fist bumps to students, especially when you are in the cafeteria. Number four, you must be willing to answer candid questions like, can I taste your cottage cheese? Or, what do you do all day when you're not here? Or, why can't you come every day? Number five, you must be willing to have fun. And number six, and probably the most important, you must be willing to give your heart away. I could go on, and even as I write this, I'm thinking, oh, there was this time, or, oh, I should tell them about that time. But unfortunately, my space and time is limited, so I must move on. The one thing that I hear over and over from the staff is, thank you so much for doing this. We wish we had more of you. We can use more help. There are so many children, and God has opened the door at Stony Creek and has invited us in. How can we say no? So if you are intrigued by anything that I have said, and you believe that you are capable of doing these last six things that I've listed, please sign up. Then you too can have your own Stony Creek and Me story. Thank you.
Yes, so as JJ said, all right, speaking of some things going on this summer, there's a number of things that Gordon is putting together to just serve the city this summer. So as Stony Creek things wind down with the school year, Fun Fridays, there's some things happening over with the community across the street, and Gordon will be talking more about that later. But one of the other things that is going on this summer is our trip to Rancho 3M. So we wanted to give you a little bit of an update on Rancho 3M, and also a new initiative that they are doing that makes it possible for the whole church to be involved in Rancho 3M without actually having to go to Rancho 3M. So we'll give you a little bit of update and then tell you a little bit of something they're doing that I think we can all participate in as a church if you feel led to do that. So first of all, an update. I think as most of you know, we've had a relationship with Rancho 3M for nearly the past decade now. For those who don't know, Rancho 3M is a Christian orphanage and school about 40, 45 minutes or so east of Juarez, Mexico, in a little town called Guadalupe. So Guadalupe, Mexico. It's home for 40 to 50 kids full-time that live there, that are residents there at the ranch. And then the school serves roughly 100 or 20 or so, could be more actually at this point, about 100, 120 students from the surrounding community. So as an orphanage, 40 to 50 kids that live there full-time, 120 kids that are part of the primary school / middle school that's there on the property at the ranch. And so without going into all the details for how we initially got involved with Rancho 3M, for about the past 10 years, every summer we have sent a team down there to serve and to be a part of what is happening there. And a lot of you have gone over the past 10 years. In fact, if you've been to Rancho 3M, even just once, you just put your hand up. How many folks have been to Rancho 3M? Okay, so there's quite a number of hands. Some of you are sort of half shy. You don't have to be shy. I know a lot of people have gone to Rancho 3M. Some folks have gone, have taken one trip down there. We've got others that have literally been there every single summer since we've been doing that. And so thank you if you've gone. So this year we've got about a 20-person team. And when we go, the team serves two functions, practically speaking. We sort of divide and conquer. Part of the team is really dedicated to facilities, maintenance, and betterment, and improvement, and there's just projects. When your property exists out in the middle of a Mexican desert, things get sandy and things go bad, and things just need fixed, things need to be repaired, things need worked on, and so half the team is always doing that sort of thing. And then the other part of the team is really dedicated to just loving on the kids, blessing the kids, serving the kids, discipling the kids, just doing kid stuff with the kids. So that's sort of what we do when we go, but the better question is why? Why do we go? Why do we invest in Rancho 3M? And that's a question worth answering repeatedly, because it's one thing to go, it's another thing to know why we're going. Even if you never go to Rancho 3M yourself, being a part of Crossway Community Church, you want to know, hey, why are we going there? What's the motivation? Why that place? And so it's worth repeating and reminding of everybody of why we go. And honestly, the answer is just fundamentally tied to our mission to make disciples of Jesus. Part of being a disciple, and we say this all the time, and so you've heard it plenty, just part of being a disciple is being on mission, going in love to the world around us. And so we really believe that God really has graciously and sovereignly connected us with Rancho 3M. We really do see it as one of those relationships that was just God ordained from the very beginning. And we really believe God has called us to steward that relationship, to invest in that relationship for the sake of mission, which he's called us to. Psalm 82, verses 3 and 4 has really been a key passage as I've been leading the teams down there the past, I don't know what it is, 6-7 years now. And actually, Psalm 82, verse 3 and 4 is fundamental to Rancho 3M's mission. This is one of their key passages, but Psalm 82, verse 3 and 4 says, "Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy, and deliver them from the hand of the wicked." And that, in so many ways, is really what Rancho 3M is all about. Most of these kids come from backgrounds and experiences where they are weak, they are needy, they are afflicted, they are destitute, they are fatherless. They need justice, they need rescuing, they need deliverance from the hand of the wicked. Rancho 3M, in recent years particular, a lot of the kids that were coming there were just coming there at the initiative of family. Now there's a lot of, more so than there has been, which for lack, is it's Mexico, it's not quite the same as the United States, so I'm sort of using terms a little bit liberally, but what you might consider sort of state placement, state involvement in the kids that are there, kids that have been rescued by the Mexican government from really, really bad situations, and so the ranch is getting more and more involved in those sorts of things. So it's really a joy to be a part of that. It's a joy to be a part of what Psalm 82 calls us to. To rescue the fatherless, to rescue the weak, the needy, the afflicted, and obviously Psalm 82, part of that is that's just Psalm 82 is just being faithful to our mission, right? To go in love to the world around us. That involves rescuing the weak and the needy, and that ultimately is a reflection of God's heart, right? God's heart for the weak, God's heart for the needy, God's heart for the lost, God's heart for the nations. And so it's just a joy to be a part of that and to lead a team down there every year. Now, obviously, not everybody can go. Not everybody's called to go. But there are still ways to be involved. And so one of the new things that's happening is the staff at Rancho 3M is trying to build a really, really good children's library. So books in Spanish, some for education purposes, obviously, because it's a school. And so they just need all kinds of books, children's books, just educational kind of books. But then also books in Spanish for discipleship purposes. So good children's books on just catechisms and discipleship and theology and Bible and doctrine. Because it's a Christian orphanage and a Christian school. And the ranch is actually highly committed to both. Both education and discipleship for the kids. And they actually do a really, really, really good job. Rancho 3M has a very good reputation in the surrounding community, a reputation because of the impact that they've had there in the community, both just for the general good of the community. They have a very good reputation just being good influence on the community. But then also a gospel impact specifically. There's light that is coming from the ranch into a dark place. There was a season there because of cartel wars and drug wars where it was almost a ghost town. We would roll into Guadalupe and abandoned buildings, couldn't see a soul. There was nothing around, just brick and mortar knocked over. And then you'd show up at the ranch and it's like, man, it's like a ghost town out here. Things have improved, but Guadalupe is a dark place. And there's a lot of light that's coming from the ranch that's reaching not only the kids that are there, but reaching the families of these kids. And so they do a really, really good job of what they're doing. And so this is where you as an individual, we as a church community, all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina, you know, 1,500 plus miles from the ranch, this is where we can each personally help. So they have created a wish list on Amazon for books and materials to stock their library. So you can go on Amazon and you can buy one or as many things as you want on that list that they have specifically requested, and it will go to directly stocking their library and supporting what they are doing. It's super easy, and yet it is super, super helpful. I know that this has actually been on their heart for a number of years to really push this and really get this established. So tomorrow, tomorrow I will be posting on the city all of the information that you need to do that. It will include a link to their wish list on Amazon, a little bit of other information as well, so that you can participate. And we believe it's a super easy, super practical way for our entire church community to get behind and support what's happening at Rancho 3M. Even if you never get on a plane and go, we can all be involved together and really fulfilling Psalm 82 together there at the ranch. So it's a really, really cool thing. All that information, I will post that information tomorrow. So if you're interested, that will be up there. So make sure you're checking your email because that'll be there. Just a little bit, we're gonna pray together as a church for a number of things, including Rancho 3M. And JJ will talk about this as we talk about prayer as he begins to lead us through that. But the point in praying tonight for Rancho 3M isn't just so that we can pray tonight. It's so that we can be in prayer, continued prayer for Rancho 3M. So there's a number of things on the back of the little agenda that you got tonight. But then also, if Rancho 3M is sort of near and dear to your heart, if it's one of those ministries you think, man, I love Rancho 3M, I've been, or every time we talk about it, man, my heart just gets stirred. So there's a couple other opportunities to be praying for Rancho 3M. So not just tonight, but on Tuesday the 29th, Gordon Howe is hosting a prayer meeting specifically for Rancho 3M. JJ and Betty have shared about Stony Creek and just some ways that we're trying to reach our city and then beyond our city to the nations, just as I was sharing about Rancho 3M. I want to talk about another mission field that we have. In fact, I personally would consider this, arguably at least, to be our most important mission field, and that is children's ministry. I think the largest unsaved population that we have the most constant contact with and relationship with is our children. And what's going on downstairs each and every Sunday we gather together as a church. I think it's arguably our most important mission field. I think it's the one we have. It's the largest unsaved population we have the most constant contact with. When Jesus said in Matthew 9 that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I don't know, but I think he may have had children's ministry in mind. Because I'd say downstairs the harvest is plentiful, and there is always the need for laborers. So I sort of wonder if somewhere in the back of Jesus' mind, him, you know, knowing all things, sort of was aware, hey, children's ministry is included in that. Here's a few stats just so that everybody's informed as sort of what's happening down there. About this time last year, we were averaging around 80 to 85 kids downstairs every Sunday on average. A year later, so today, we're averaging around 105 kids every Sunday downstairs. Amen. That's right. It's God's blessing. It's a stewardship. God's bringing families and God's bringing children. And so the mission field we have downstairs, it's increasing. So the harvest is plentiful. If you add up the volunteers who are also downstairs each and every Sunday, about one third of everybody that is here on a Sunday morning is downstairs. So a third of everything going on Sunday is happening downstairs, is involved in children's ministry in some way. So a significant portion of our Sunday service is happening in children's ministry. And I think, just with all that, with those stats as sort of a backdrop, I think it's important that we as an entire church understand and appreciate that Sunday morning children's ministry is not just about childcare. Right? A third of the church is down there. 105 kids are down there. It's not just about childcare, it's about mission. Right? It's about a mission field that exists right down there, and we're called to steward it. We're called to be faithful to what God has given us. And I think when we understand that, I think it increases our desire to serve in children's ministry. I think it increases our faith to serve in children's ministry. Right? It gives us a vision for something. We get the opportunity each and every Sunday through children's ministry to make disciples, to grow disciples. Right? And that, I think, if we really believe that and feel that, I think that has a unifying effect. I think that unites and rallies us and compels us to take ownership of what's happening down in children's ministry as an entire church community, to rally together in that Sunday after Sunday. So let me just say three things about that specifically. One, we have a large number of college students serving in children's ministry. Don't have any kids of their own. Most of them did not grow up here at Crossway, and so they really have no obligation to serve down there in that way specifically. Don't have kids down there, didn't grow up here. It's not like they got some debt they're trying to pay off as kids who grew up in the church. And yet there they are, they're down there serving because they've caught a passion for the local church, right? And they had a passion for mission. And that's really, really encouraging. Right, to have that many college students who have a passion for the local church and a passion for mission, and they're serving our children. So that's something I want us to be really, really encouraged about. And just to be aware of things. That's really cool. That's more fruit from Mission 28, that there's a passion for the church, there's a passion for mission, and our kids are being blessed because of that. That's awesome. Number two, I want to challenge you to consider, if you do have a child in children's ministry, then every single Sunday, your family is being served in a very significant way, right? If you've got a kid down there, I've got four of them down there. And so I just want to challenge you, if you've got a child in children's ministry, that you should really consider serving in children's ministry in some way. As a teacher, as a helper, as a monitor, that we develop this mindset as a church community that, man, if I'm being served, then I should be involved in serving. If at all possible. I know there's always, that's why I say if at all possible. Sometimes there's reasons you can't, mothers of young children, just et cetera, et cetera. Maybe you're serving in other significant ways on a Sunday morning. But if at all possible, right, want to develop a mindset, man, if my family's being served in this way, let me serve. Let me go down there and be involved. And so I just want to challenge you to really consider doing that if you're not already doing that. I think honestly, if that happened, it would probably take care of whenever there's a shortage of volunteers down there. I think that would rectify the situation pretty easily. And then the third thing I want to say, I know it can be really easy to lose sight of the bigger picture because children's ministry does not always feel like you're in this grand mission field. Right, it doesn't feel that way. You walk down there, and sometimes it just feels like, man, I'm on today. Like I got to serve. I'm downstairs, and oh man, it's my Sunday, and oh yeah, I'm on duty this Sunday. And so sometimes I get it. You can lose that sense of, man, I'm actually an important part of something that's really important, and you don't always feel that way. It just feels like I'm on duty. And so when you sort of lose the bigger picture, you lose that grander sense of what's happening downstairs, then all of a sudden you forget that you were supposed to serve that Sunday. You're late for serving that Sunday. You're sending an email like last minute trying to find somebody else to take your place for Sunday, thinking, somebody will get it. It's no big deal. It doesn't really matter. So, because those kinds of things, we don't want to lose our sense of the grander picture. This mission field that we're called to steward, that I am a laborer in a field, and so that we have sort of this shared sense of purpose and unity and ownership in that. So, in September, we're actually starting something new in children's ministry that we hope will sort of rally us and unite us and envision us each and every Sunday for what children's ministry is about, so that we don't lose sort of that grander sense of what it's about. So starting in September at 9:15, it's a.m., every Sunday, so starting in September, 9:15 a.m., every Sunday, children's ministry volunteers will be gathering at 9:15 in the main room downstairs to pray together. So if you are serving in children's ministry that Sunday, we want to encourage you to participate in that time of prayer. Okay, this isn't forced. This isn't mandatory. It's not like, oh, you were serving this Sunday. Why weren't you at prayer at 9:15? It's not that sort of thing. It's this is happening, and we want to rally together in prayer. And so if you're serving in children's ministry on a Sunday, we want to encourage you to come at 9:15 downstairs. Yes, you have to get there earlier, but to gather together and to pray. I'm not sure if you've picked up on this or not. Hopefully you have. But for the past 6 months or so, we have made a very concerted effort to think about how we pray and to try to incorporate prayer more and more into the various aspects of the life of this church. So the prayer things that we've done with Harvest Community Church, the different prayer meetings that are happening. So we want to grow in prayer as a church. And so we want to incorporate regular gathered prayer into the life of children's ministry so that through prayer, as we're gathered together, we can be reminded and envisioned for this common mission that we have. That, man, we're entering a mission field now. And through prayer, we want to be reminded of that. That we're laborers in that field together. And we want to ask God to work in the hearts and the lives of our children. And to ask God, hey, change us, because I believe God will change us as we pray together. And so as a way to just build this sense of, man, we're on mission on Sundays when we're down here. This is awesome to be a laborer in this field. God's given us these kids to steward. We get to do this together. A third of the church is going to be down here. There's important things that are happening. When you gather together to pray together, you're reminded of those things, and your faith is stirred. And sort of there's the shared sense of purpose in that. And so we just want to encourage you to be a part of that. There'll be more information coming as September approaches, but wanted to let you know about that now, that'll be happening in children's ministry starting in September. And then lastly, as it relates to children's ministry, wanted you to be aware, last year in the summer, we did a missions-based curriculum for the first through sixth grade classes called Trek to Thailand. How many people remember Trek to Thailand? Okay, your kids were involved. You were probably, if you were serving, you were very aware of Trek to Thailand, which was perfect to focus on Thailand, given our relationship with the Wendelmeyers and the Englands, who are now in Thailand serving right now as missionaries over there. And so the kids got to learn about Thai culture and Thai lifestyle and Thai food, I think, even. But then particularly with a focus on what God is doing in Thailand. Like what is God doing across the nations? In fact, we had the Englands come in and speak to the kids. The kids had actually raised $500 on their own. And so when the Englands came at the end of August, we were actually able to present them a check after they got done talking to the kids for $500 and say, listen, these kids have raised this for you to support your missionary efforts in Thailand, which was a really cool thing to do. And so we just wanted you to know that this summer, we're going to be doing something very similar again called Passport to Peru. Peruvian culture, lifestyle. So I think it's going to be great. So we just wanted you to know your kids are going to be exposed to more of that stuff because as I was thinking about this, my heart is, man, it's great. Like, what would be awesome is to see those kids as they grow up to be transformed from the mission field to the missionaries who are reaching the mission field. And so as we sort of build in these things in the summer, you know, trek to Thailand, passport to Peru, look what God's doing across the globe. Hopefully it's instilling that kind of vision in them.
The one thing that we really wanted to be able to communicate tonight as far as just sort of letting you know about something that we have been thinking about as elders that we wanted to sort of let the church kind of in on, just so you're sort of aware, is the idea of bivocational elders. You may have heard the term lay elders, bivocational elders, and we just want to talk a little bit about what that means and what that looks like for the future of the church. So I just thought it'd be helpful to kind of just step back for a half second, remind us just a little bit that according to Ephesians 4:12, 1 Timothy 3, Titus, Philippians, and a bunch of other places, Paul in a particular way reminds us that the elders in general are a gift to the church. And that desiring to be an elder is this really, really good thing. And later on in 1 Timothy 3, Paul talks about also the office of deacon or the role of deacon. And I think actually in kind of reminding us of the story of how deacons came to be about will help us understand sort of how we're thinking about bivocational elders a little bit. So a few years ago, as we were studying the scriptures, it was about a little more than 2.5 years ago, because 2.5 years ago we sort of started having deacons here at Crossway. We just sort of realized that the gift of deacon wasn't really being used to an extent. We didn't have the office of deacon. We didn't have deacons here at Crossway. And so over the past 2.5 years, we've been trying to grow in this area. So we started by identifying, calling, equipping deacons to help model and mobilize serving in the church. And over the past couple of months, we've actually kind of re-engaged on this and been rethinking through this of how do we sort of equip the deacons to do more and more and help lead, help model, help mobilize serving that are going on in the church. And so I think in a similar way, we've been talking over the last couple of years about this idea of bivocational elders, that the call of an elder from the scriptures is that this is a person, this is a man who's gifted and qualified according to the New Testament standards, and they're able to be full-time, that they should receive the honor of being full-time, and so they could be full-time elders in their work, in their vocation, but the gift of elder, it's not actually required to be full-time. There's no requirement in the scripture to actually be full-time and that to be your only vocation or your only calling or only source of provision. And actually, throughout the history of the church, and even in the New Testament itself, with the example of the Apostle Paul, there are numerous examples of godly men who are elders, who are elders in a bivocational way, where they actually get their provision or some of it or all of it through other means, but still serve the church as elders. And so with that in mind, as we've kind of been studying this and thinking about that, we just wanted to let the church know that as we are thinking about evaluating the gift of elder in the future in the life of this church, we want to be able to evaluate guys not just as the possibility of needing to bring them on full-time as staff members, but also the possibility that there would be men who would be gifted and qualified to be elders, but they would have to do so in a bivocational way for that to be possible. That they're called, at least in this season and possibly forever, to have another vocation as sort of their day job, for a lack of a better way to phrase that, but that they're actually still gifted, qualified, capable, valued men who've been given the gift of eldership, and we want to steward that regardless of if they have another vocation or not. The amount of time someone has to give to their gift doesn't mean that the gift isn't there just because the time might be less. And so we don't want to withhold a gift that God has given to this church just because someone may not be able to be a full-time elder. So we thought, as we were wrestling over this idea, that there were sort of four kind of common questions we thought might be helpful to address, and that doesn't mean that this is exhaustive in any means, but hopefully these will kind of get over kind of some of the common thoughts that you guys might have as we talk about this. So the first one would be, are elders bivocational because they're not quite as gifted? They're not quite as good, and so they have to be bivocational. They kind of need to keep their day job because they're not really worth being full-time. There's a really easy answer to that, and that answer would be no. That's an easy one. Every elder that's gifted and called to be an elder has the same list of qualifications, the same gifting, that has to have the exact same thing. It's just a matter of the amount of time they can give to it. So there's not two groups of elders or two classes of elders, but every elder, whether bivocational or full-time, has to go through the process of evaluation, affirmation, and ordination. It's the same process for either man who might be gifted to be an elder. Another common thought we thought might come up would be, are bivocational elders going to just make things a little bit more complicated? Will they actually be all that helpful? First, let me sort of rephrase that way of thinking. The starting point isn't whether or not they'll be helpful or make things more complicated. The first place we need to start is that Scripture says elders are a gift, and every gift from God is helpful. That's what the scriptures say. Elders are a gift, and gifts from God, he promises, are good for us. So the starting place is, if there are men who are gifted to be elders, then that's good for us. Because that's what the scriptures say. And we want to steward the gifts that God gives to us as a church. And that may look different for different people in different seasons. That's okay. We want to be creative. We want to work hard to think through these things. What's the best way we can do this? But the reality is, if there are men gifted to be elders, the amount of time that they have shouldn't necessarily get in the way of the gift that God is giving to our church. And so it's not about whether or not it's complicated or helpful or not helpful. We know it will be helpful because it's a gift from God, and gifts from God are helpful. They're good. And so we want to be able to steward them well. So why right now? Question three, why right now? This is something that we started exploring a little over 2 years ago. And then we made the transition from Mickey out of the senior pastor role, thought it would be good to delay, kind of slow down the process. And then obviously with Nick's departure, that sort of started another sort of delay in the process. As we saw that Nick was possibly going to leave, we slowed down. He was actually the point person that was working on some of this for us. And so we've kind of waited till sort of the other side of that to let things settle a little bit, think through this. This actually did not come up in any capacity because Nick was gone and we were like, hey, what are we going to do? It was actually something Nick wanted to actually lead us through a few months ago, and we obviously, yeah, even years ago, actually, to be fair to Nick. But instead, on the other side of all of this, what we just realized is there's always change that goes on. That things are just always changing in communities. And as we've prayed about it and thought about it and talked about it, we thought that just this seemed to be the right time from God's hand to start thinking about it, to start leading the church through it, to just say, look, if there are men gifted to this, we don't want to wait. We need to actually prayerfully and thoughtfully think through this and begin to evaluate men who may be gifted in this way. So what's next? What's next? In the coming years, we hope to be able to sort of explore both the bivocational and full-time elders. We're always evaluating and exploring this and thinking through this with men in the church. As of right now, just to be clear, there's no one to announce to you that we want to become a bivocational elder right now. We're not announcing this because there's somebody that tomorrow we want to put in front of you to become an elder. That's not why we're saying this. And yet, we really think that there are men in this church who may be gifted to be elders, to be bivocational elders. And we want to explore and equip them and start thinking through and stewarding what that gift could look like. We want to be faithful to that. So, Lord willing, in the next couple of years, we'll probably have, hopefully, by God's grace, a few men, one man, who knows? We have no idea. But we hopefully will have other men to be able to put before you to start thinking through and praying through and hopefully affirming and ordaining as elders that are gifted by God. And just like with the process of deacons, there's going to be some things we're going to have to learn. We're going to have to grow in. It's going to take some time. And there'll be some ups and downs, but because this is a gift of God that he promises is good for us in the scriptures, we have faith that it's going to be good for us. Just a couple notes on this. Part of this is just a broader principle for the church. Any gift that God gives to us, what we want to do as a church is to mobilize that gift to be used to its fullest, right? We want to steward every gift that God gives to this church. Whatever that may look like, that's what we want to do. Who cares what it is? If God's given us a gift, how can we use it? How can it benefit the body and bring glory to God? That's what we want to do. And we want to be creative in figuring out what's the best way to do that. So whatever gifts God's given to us, let's figure out how to use them. Because that means there's some sort of benefit for us and it's going to bring him more glory. And that's what we're excited about to do. And if you've got any questions about any of this, feel free to chat with us. I don't imagine that the stuff I'm sharing tonight covers every single thing that might come up or thoughts in the back of your head. Please chat with us about it. Talk with me about it. Jeremy's done a lot of work on this. Joe's been involved in all this as we've been thinking through it. Please grab us, talk with us. We'd love to chat more about it if that would be helpful for you. And be praying for us as we're thinking through this and evaluating guys and those kinds of things. Just be praying that God would actually give us the gift of elder, which is a noble and good thing. All right, M28 kids. I'm calling you kids. I'm so sorry, guys. Come on up. Let's talk. So if you remember at the family meeting in August, we got to hear from the interns for the year. And these four students that we're going to get to hear from tonight, these are four of the student leaders that both served in M28 this past year, but are also going to be serving again this next year in M28. And we just thought it'd be helpful for you guys just to kind of hear a little bit about how the year went in M28, kind of like a little wrap-up, kind of hear some of the stuff that God did. But also just what are the things that we can be praying about and looking forward to kind of hear from them tonight. So we're just going to do another little chat. Hi, guys. You got the mic? Oh, sorry. I don't want you guys to have to share with those guys. Yeah. So could everybody just go ahead, share your name, kind of how you got into M28, kind of what your role is as a student leader. That'd be great. Dave, you want to go ahead and start?
Yes. My name is David Parks. I almost did my elevator speech there. I'm sorry. I am an officer, operations officer at M28. I got involved my freshman year through the freshman Bible study. And now lead worship along with Josh and Lauren every week at big meetings, and also lead a community group on Tuesday nights with a Bible study that we do. So.
I'm Josh Seiler. I am a community officer and part of M28. I got involved freshman year as well as in the freshman Bible study. I came a little late, came second semester though. And I also lead a community group on Tuesday nights with Lauren. She's my co. We're co's, so that's exciting.
No.
Hello. I was told to hold the mic up to my chin, so that's what I'm doing. Okay, this is good.
You're doing great.
So my name is Sarah Barker, and I am a community group leader in M28. It's very fun, would recommend. I became involved in M28 my freshman year, but it was also second semester. I actually got involved because my roommate Jessica and I came to Crossway at the recommendation of Mary Caroline. Still don't know how to pronounce your new last name, I'm sorry. but that's how I got involved, and it's been really awesome. Oh, also, I connect people to Crossway through discipleship groups.
So I'm Lauren Channer, and I am also a community officer with Josh, and we lead a community group together. It's the best community group, actually. It's pretty great.
Can I have that back for you?
No.
It's like an award to prove that that's not true.
Okay, that's fine. But I got involved through M28 through Crossway. I came to Crossway like 2 years ago, and then heard about M28 and got involved my sophomore year of college. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's great. Lauren, let's start with you. What was some of the highlights from the past year for you guys? Just stuff you did, areas you saw God kind of at work that you got to kind of experience and participate in?
Okay. So two of the big things that we identified that we needed to grow in as a community were, first, growing as a community, first, and then also we wanted to grow in diversity in the context of racial reconciliation, but we identified pretty quickly on that those things couldn't be done simultaneously. One kind of had to follow the other. So we really got to see God working through knitting us together as a community in humility and just really making an effort to bear one another's burdens. And that was really awesome because we were just able to see how weak we were, in a sense, and just come together and rally around each other in that. And that really just set us up nicely to then pursue the goal of diversity. We were able to just take the first steps towards pursuing racial reconciliation on our campus. It's no secret that our campus is it's a pretty diverse campus, but M28 is not a very diverse group. And like what didn't happen, we didn't sit around and say like, okay, cool. We want to just welcome people who don't look like us, and we're all just going to have one big party. That's not what happened. God just really worked on our hearts to just align us with his heart for just calling new believers from our campus. And so we were able to do a joint event with another group on campus where we just really addressed the topic because we had people who had thought on this before, who were involved in our community in different ways, but we also had members who just really didn't even know why this is something that we should be doing. Sure. They were like, well, what is that? I don't know. So that event was really awesome to see God working through just calling us through from whatever background we had in it, whether it was like extensive to none, to really address the huge disparity between where we wanted to be and where we actually were, and discuss like what steps we're gonna take in the future. So it was humbling, but really encouraging to see God work in that.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Sarah, how about you for you?
Well, my two favorite things about this year were, first of all, leading a community group. For the majority of the year, I co-led with Sam, who is sitting over there. And that was really awesome because community groups really help people dive into scripture, and that's something that I care a lot about. So people in my community group at the end of the semester or the end of the year were asking questions that, like, we actually had to look in the Bible to find the answer to. Like, it was crazy. And so that was one of my favorite things. And one of my other favorite things was just seeing people actually start to care about the local church. Our local church specifically, but any local church that's like preaching the gospel in general. That's also really great. Randomly in conversations, people would be like, oh, I'm thinking about going to Starting Point on Saturday. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. Like, you should do it. Like, I didn't even have to chase people down and ask them to go to Starting Point. They were just coming up to me and being like, I want to be a member. And so that was just the coolest thing and something that I really enjoyed.
Yeah. How about for you, Josh?
Yeah. So I think the thing I was most excited about and thing I'm most there's a couple things, two things. So if one, leading a community group with Lauren, this is the second year we led together, and I feel like we were really able to just harvest a community. It was pretty small at times. I think at times we only had like two other people, but going from just two people to the end of the semester, we had like a community group party with like eight other people, and they were a bunch of odd people, kind of like me and Lauren, but it was like there'd be no other reason why these 10 people were in my apartment other than every Tuesday night we would gather together and crack open Philippians and just dive into the word. And I think that was really cool. It's just a testament to like what the gospel can actually do, bringing different people together. Yeah. And then I was also just really encouraged with watching the freshman class really mature from first semester, just being very timid to second semester, just like giving me a lot of hope and excitement for the future. And just big props to Joel and Blake, who led the freshman Bible study.
Yeah.
They did an awesome job. Yep. And so those are the two things that I was really saw God working in.
I think for me, looking back on the last year, as you asked, like what the most exciting thing was, definitely being very involved in the Thursday night big meetings that we have, which is a time for those of y'all who don't know, we have community groups on Tuesday nights, and then Thursday nights every week we have a meeting where we have worship, and John or one of the other guys will come and preach to us. We've gone through a couple series, but starting out in the beginning of the year, we had three values that were a little adjustment from the previous years because we wanted to really be clear about why we were on campus, what we were doing. And it was Jesus, church, and mission. And so as we started big meetings for the year, we came and everything that we did, we wanted it to be centered around those three things: Jesus, what he's done, what he is doing, his church that he died for, the body of believers that we are in community with, and then the mission that he's given to us to make disciples. And so as a member and a leader, being able to see students coming each week and God really gathering us around those three things, that we had a passion for those three things, and being able to see us just grow and everything that we did come out of that. And people be able to tell that they could see the connection between what we were doing. So whenever we gave announcements, it wasn't just, we're going to be doing this thing, hanging out Friday nights. No, we have this reason. We want to reach these people or share the gospel this way. Everything came out of those three things. And so seeing that growth and that change and that heart in the community.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really awesome, guys. As you guys think about next year, ways that we as a church can continue to partner with you guys as members of the church, and how can we, you know, give us something to pray for, something you're excited about, just something that we can kind of partner with you guys as you guys think about the coming year, and what can we be doing as a church to care for you guys in the next year? What do you guys think?
So the first thing that comes to mind is just a prayer that God would continue to change our hearts. I think a lot of the things that, like, I mentioned and then you guys as well are just things that happened through the Holy Spirit working through us and really giving us a heart to reach out to our campus. And so to better do that, then we have to do all these things.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about seeing us engage in outreach in a really bold and inclusive way, in a way that just acknowledges, identifies, and really just sees how we can be enriched by other people's differences. And so a lot of that is just going to be just praying for ourselves and then like asking for prayer for you guys as well, that God just comes into our hearts and replaces our thoughts about other people with his thoughts, and our thoughts about how we can be used by him with his thoughts on that, yeah, in big and small ways.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. What about for you, Sarah?
Well, I have a long list of things that you could pray for, but I'm just going to give you like two. So the first one I would say is that you could really be praying that we would continue to grow in maturity. John, for the last half of second semester, maybe it was all of second semester, I don't really remember, preached on maturity. And so we had like 8 or 9 different topics that we talked about, of how to grow in maturity. So basically what we learned from that is that none of us are wise at all, and that we have a lot of growing to do. So that was actually really helpful because it pushed us into the summer looking to grow in a lot of different ways. So you could just honestly be praying that everyone in M28 would just grow in maturity and love for the Lord. But I would also say that it would be really helpful if you guys would be praying that people in M28 would have a high level of buy-in, like for the local church. I think that could look like a couple of different things. It could look like people coming to Crossway, which would be lots of fun. It would also look like people going to any church that's preaching the gospel, like I said earlier. But one thing that M28's been trying to do is discipleship groups. So me and Lauren are in a discipleship group together. It's led by Bethany, who's really great. Like one Saturday a month, we just kick JJ out. And we just talk about stuff for like 2 hours. Stuff being the Bible. So it's really good. But discipleship groups. You could be praying that people want to be a part of discipleship groups. That's been something that's really helped me foster community in M28, but not just the loose kind of community that's like, cool, I have these people I like to hang out with, but accountability and girls who actually want to help me grow in my walk with Christ, and girls who I want to help grow in their walk with Christ as well. So you could be praying for that. And you could also be praying that, this is still under point number 2.
Okay.
You could also be praying that people would go to Starting Point, that they would pray about what church membership actually means. That's something that I've seen a lot of people are interested in and curious about. It's like, okay, well, I'm thinking about going to this church. I'm thinking about becoming a member, but what does that actually mean? Like, am I committing the rest of my life? Am I signing in blood? Am I just saying, okay, I'm just going to be here for a little while? Is 3 or 4 years actually long enough to go to a church? Like, all of these questions are things that people had. They're questions that I've had. And so you could just be praying that people would ask those questions, and then there would be people who are wise and who care and who want to answer those questions around, that we would, like, all be those people for everyone who's searching, and that people would buy into the local church.
All right. Oh.
I am so excited about the underclassmen. I know I kind of hinted at it in what I just said earlier, but this rising sophomore class is rock solid, and I see potential leaders, and I see potential people that are just gonna buy into what M28 is doing and to what the local church is doing. And so 2 things you can pray for that. One, that you would just empower them to, I mean, they're sophomores. A lot of us took over leadership community groups as sophomores. It's a scary thing. I didn't want to do it when Luke first asked me. I didn't want to do it, but he encouraged me, and it was a really good growing experience. And so just pray for encouragement for them, empowering their spirit. And then also, I think, as upperclassmen, our job is to pour into them and to help that transition go smoothly, and give them wisdom and give them guidance in the little wisdom that we do have, experience more like it, to just help them walk this line of, all right, what does it mean to be a leader in M28? What does it mean to lead a community group? How involved do I need to be? How do I balance school and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So we have that responsibility as well. But I'm just pumped. It's an awesome freshman sophomore class now. So
yeah.
Oh, you took mine, but that's okay. We didn't. I guess I missed that part. Now you're good. So as I was thinking the last 2 minutes about something else that we can be praying for, preparing for next year that I'm excited about, it's something that we've noticed in our community is that we are great at hanging out with each other, and it's a great, like Josh said, like raising up leaders. Like that's something that I think is awesome, and that M28 really has been blessed with. God's used M28 to grow leaders and enable and empower people to go and reach the campus, but focusing on the reaching the campus. And we have a great group of people here, but really going to and using the connections that we already have on campus. There's many opportunities with different organizations and other clubs on campus that might not be Christian necessarily, but they are opportunities to just be around other people, build relationships, to live life with those people. And so I think one burden that we really have going into this next year is how do we use those to really reach the campus well and be on mission outside of our friendships necessarily, but in other areas of life as well, and really reaching the whole campus effectively.
Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing, guys. Appreciate it. Thank everybody. Thank you for sharing, guys.
We'll post this week just ways that you can keep praying for M28 coming into the coming year. And, of course, we'll let you guys know a little bit about that in the fall when they're going to get kicked off. Tonight, I just want to close. I guarantee you this will take 2 minutes. Don't worry. All right. I just want to close by talking about something we want to pray about this summer as a pastoral staff that I just want to ask you guys to pray with us about. As Joe mentioned earlier, prayer became this thing that we started thinking about and praying through a lot together as a staff, and we started talking about it more, wanted to lead through things more, add things to the church schedule and calendar, create more context for us to be praying together as a church, and it's just something that we see as a value that we wanted to grow in. And as we've been evaluating the church, one of the other areas we've been thinking about over the past couple of months is just the area of hospitality. It's just an area of the church where a lot of the feedback we get, a lot of the discussions we get are the church is really welcoming, the church is really kind, the church greet everybody that comes in the door, having conversations. But there seems to be at times just that ability to kind of take that next step for us to grow as this community that really lives life together and actually opens up our lives to one another and where we actually have this culture as a church where we have this mentality that it doesn't really matter. We're part of one body together. We are a family, and we live life together, and our lives are open to one another, and we share life. And that this would be the culture that we have as a church. And so over the course of the summer, we're going to be reading a book together as elders. We're going to put it actually in the bookstore so that if you have an interest in reading it with us, we'd love for you to do that. Feel free to grab that when we put that in there. We're going to be praying about it. What would it look like to be a culture where no matter who walks in the door from whatever walk of life in North Charlotte, they walk in and they can be loved and be part of this community and thrive and use their gifts in a way that brings God glory and serves other people. What would that really look like for us to love one another like that? That's the type of church we want to be. And so we want to grow to that end. How? That's what we want to figure out with you guys. So we just want to encourage you guys, pray with us to that end this summer. Think about what are ways God could even stir in your heart to have creativity and thought discussion. Talk about it with us. Talk about it together. Talk about it with us. Let's be thinking as a church. How can we grow in hospitality and inviting one another to each other's lives? So we just want to give you guys some of those things so that you can pray with us while we're thinking through those things as elders. And so kind of at family meetings, we just want to drop little nuggets about things that we just think God's got for us as a church and want you guys to know about it. All right. That's it for tonight. Thanks so much for making it out. Love having everybody out here tonight. Hopefully you got to hear a lot about what God's doing in our church. And even better news, there's ice cream in the lobby. Have a good night, guys.